Listen, Jesus did not give his life so that you could be foolish. Jesus did not give his life so that you could miss the midnight call and endure the tribulation. He did not give his life for you so that you would miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. He gave his life for you to save you, to rescue you from the wrath that is coming.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today?" I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 6 of the timeline.
The focus is then put back on Israel, the nation. The people will get saved during the tribulation, Jew and Gentile. Church, no matter how bad times seem, can I just be really honest with you? I think we're a bunch of babies today. I'm just going to be real honest with you. Oh, things are getting bad. No, they're not. Do you know what bad is? I don't. If this is our idea of bad, we don't understand what bad is. See, we don't really believe what is coming is worse than what we're seeing today. No matter how bad times seem or become, in our age, they will never be as bad as they are during the tribulation. Let me ask you this. In 70 AD, when Rome destroyed Jerusalem, and they were destroying people, Christians, Jews, left and right for their faith, many of them thought the end was near. Many of them thought the end was upon them at that moment. The temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. Wiped it clean. Took Jews out of there. Changed the name to Palestine. Said, "You will not go back in there for centuries." Jews were not even allowed to go back into Jerusalem. People living at that time thought the tribulation was upon them, but it wasn't. It was a tribulation, but it wasn't the tribulation. Are you following me? Death, destruction, famine, pestilence, and many other calamities will continue to visit mankind until Jesus comes, and that's because we live in a fallen world, and it's under the curse of man's disobedience. Living in the USA, we are not guaranteed a free pass. I'm going to say that again. Living in the United States of America does not give us a free pass from all these things, but we can go through tribulation. Are you following me? I don't think we're convinced that we'll actually go through any troubles. I think most of us sitting here, and I'm just going to be honest, and even myself, I don't think we honestly believe bad things can happen to us as Americans. But I'm telling you this, if we're in bed with the world, there will be a sifting. You better pay attention to the Word of God, and you better pay attention to the Jewish nation and the relationship with God in the Old Testament. God does not change. Israel was a woman, and he was married to the woman. There was adultery when they would go into idolatry, if you remember. The association is still the same with the church. We're the bride of Christ. And if we're in bed with the world, there will be a sifting, because God will not allow his bride to be in bed with the world. The church in our country better ready itself, because we could go through a time of sifting where God will test our hearts. What will he find? Will he find true faith, or will he find a religious facade? Church, we need to pay attention to history, because we are spoiled by our blessings. Thank God for them. Amen. Aren't you grateful that you hit the lottery when you were born? You were born in the greatest country the world has ever known. But don't let that blind you to the possibility that we could face tribulation. Some of people look at it this way. We don't see America so much in prophecy. Why is that? Could it be that we're not even there? Could it be we're just part of the world system then? Do we really believe that the hardships may come to this nation? You know what? Europe didn't think so. And listen to me, the plague ripped through Europe and 200 million people died. Almost 50% of the population of Europe died during the plague. Okay, how about this? What about China? 1958 through 1961, did you know 43 million people died in famine during that period? Oh, not us. Oh, that won't happen to us. During World War II, you know, we think this next world war is going to be it. Who says that? I'll tell you who says that. Fruits and kooks have made us think that. There could be world war after world war till Jesus comes. I don't know where people get that from. Listen, there was two already. All right. World War II, 1939, 1945, worldwide, including the Holocaust, 72 million people died. See, our American psyche, our religious psyche says this: we're blind. We don't believe trouble will come to this earth. We believe a zombie apocalypse will happen first. Where do people, that's a joke, okay? Get all serious. Where do people get that idea? Because it's not in the Bible. It's popular opinion that is usually fed to us by charlatans. See, what if God decided to sift our nation? What would be left? Mark 13:3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you." Verse 6, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be you not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not yet be." Verse 8, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." That word in the Greek is ethnos. Ethnos against ethnos. Ethnic groups against ethnic groups. "And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. The end is not yet come." See, I believe we need to be praying for our nation. Because if we aren't, listen, mankind's greatest experience, democracy, it may come crashing down. Can you imagine what would happen if America fell? Do you know what the world would happen to the world? I believe the world would go into another dark ages. I truly believe that. You say, well, we have all this technology and stuff. Listen, this can become nothing. This can become a paperweight. I believe there's a lot riding on our nation. I really do. I believe it's part of God's plan for us to be here. I really do. But listen, we can't take that as an arrogant stance to say, well, because God wants us here, we're always going to be here. Israel became a nation, but it lost that status for thousands of years. The church in America, waiting on our Savior's return, may endure wars, famine, pestilence. You're saying, this is not comforting. Thank God, if you're ready, you're not having to worry about this, right? But it should cause you to worry about people who are not saved. Perhaps the collapse of our society, but Jesus says, do not be deceived. These things will occur, but the end has not yet come. While the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth because of sin, where will the church be during that time? Where will the church that has been raptured be? You ever thought about that? Where are we during this period when God's pouring out his wrath? Well, we're in heaven, correct? Well, what's going on while that's going on? While the bad stuff's happening there, what are we doing in heaven? Are we floating on clouds and eating bonbons, harp, whatever, strumming our harp? Revelation 19 tells us, verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God." The marriage supper of Lamb, where Jesus is reunited with his church and a celebration occurs. That's where we're at. We're with him during that period, during the tribulation. I did a little research on this subject, and I just wanted to say, what is the correlation between ancient Jewish weddings during this time and the marriage supper of the Lamb? Because Jesus often spoke with examples, correct? You know that depending on how much money you had, depending on who your guests were, a marriage celebration would last 5 to 7 days. 5 to 7 days. You know, thank God we're over in 5 to 7 minutes sometimes. You know, we're off to the honeymoon. It was different culture in that day. So there's a little bit of insight there, but We're with the Lord. We're present with the Lord. Listen, we're not only present with the Lord, we're with those who have went before us. We're there together. The world experiences tribulation. The church, the bride, will feast. Look, here's another example of marriage, and I just want to show you this. I'm coming to a close. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. One of my favorite parables that Jesus teaches. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2, now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. To those who were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready were ready went in with him to the wedding, and look, and the door was shut. Some of you have already connected some dots now, aren't you? Afterward, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Listen, Jesus did not give his life so that you could be foolish. Jesus did not give his life so that you could miss the midnight call and endure the tribulation. Jesus did not give his life for you so that you would endure the tribulation. He did not give his life for you so that you would miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. He gave his life for you to save you, to rescue you from the wrath that is coming. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your life more into the image of the bride of Christ? Ephesians 5:27, and he might present her to himself, speaking to us, the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's us, the church. When Jesus returns for his bride, it'll be a time not known to the bride, and some of us will not be ready. Those who are ready will be brides without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. On the other hand, the foolish brides, it doesn't mean they're not born again. They are, but they're not ready. They're not prepared. They were busy with the things of this world. They were not prepared for the groom's arrival. There are people in the church today, they're going to church, they think they're serving God, whatever, but it's just a facade. Yes, I gave my life to Jesus, but I don't really serve him. We're in bed with the world, some of us. There's no distinction. Jesus is coming for a bride that is holy, that is radiant, that is different from the world. If we are indistinguishable from the culture, then we have a problem. Jesus is not coming back for a bride who has soiled her garments with the filth of this world. He is not coming back for a bride who has wrinkled her garments with the flesh. Jesus is coming back for a bride that is without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end time should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.